beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace, mercy, and peace be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our true life, to serve you is freedom, and to know you is unending joy. We worship you, we glorify you, we give thanks to you for your great glory. Abide with us, reign in us, and make this world into a fit habitation for your divine majesty. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
A reading from Jeremiah. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people. It is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 46 responsively. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Therefore we will not fear, though the earth is moved, and though the mountains shake in the depths of the sea.
Though its waters rage and foam, and though the mountains tremble with its tumult.
Here is this river whose main streams have been the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of the city, it shall not be shaken. God shall help it at the break of day.
The nations rage and the kingdoms shake. God speaks and the earth melts away.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Come now, regard the works of the Lord. What desolation God has brought on the earth.
Behold the one who makes war to cease in all the world, who breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the shields with fire. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from Colossians. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power. And may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him all things in heaven and earth were created, things visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by, watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve from our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I think that Thanksgiving is my favorite national holiday. Maybe because it's all about food. It's all about food and family and friends. You know, it doesn't matter what your socioeconomic status is. It doesn't matter what your family makeup is like. It doesn't matter where you spend Thanksgiving Day, because it's about eating together. It's about showing up, being civil to one another, and sharing a wonderful meal. Earlier this week, I was in the airport coming home from a few days on the East Coast that I spent with friends, and the airports were filled with grandmas going with their recipes or their bag of dressing in their hands to celebrate Thanksgiving with their children. I met one grandmother who was going to her son's home to make the traditional Thanksgiving tamales. It doesn't matter what you eat. It's important, though, that it be the same thing. There is a ritual about Thanksgiving that is very important. Doesn't matter where you eat it or how it's prepared or what it is, but it needs to be the same year after year. So we gather on Thanksgiving Day with the same foods, with the same people, with the same relatives and friends, and we say thank you to each other just for belonging, for being wanted, and for being around. We gather today on this Feast of Christ the King for another kind of Thanksgiving ritual. We say the same prayers, we eat the same foods, we sit with the same brothers and sisters in this faith community. When I was in that the airport in Florida, there were some folks who were very irritated because they had missed their connecting flights. What had happened, the plane landed maybe 5 minutes late, but then it sat on the tarmac waiting for a gate to open up. So everybody on the plane, well, a lot of people on that plane missed their connection. Well, I was in the gate area when some of those people were hanging around, talking to the gate, to the people at the desk. Anyway, when I got on my flight, I ended up sitting next to one of these women that I recognized from that irritated group in the lobby. And as we talked on the flight, she realized that that I was a pastor. I think my sermon preparation materials gave me away as I pulled out my Bible and my books. And she got very embarrassed, and she said, "Oh, if only I had known you were a pastor, I would have watched my language." Yesterday, I got a phone call from a charity that Don and I have supported over the years, and they were calling to find out why Don had not sent his contribution for the last couple months, and they were asking, would he please do that? And I said, well, the reason he hasn't sent the contribution is that he died a couple months ago. And the person was very apologetic and said, oh, if only I had known, I wouldn't have been so demanding. I would have been less rude. Now, we do that, don't we? In the daily hustle and bustle of our lives, we take people for granted and later come to find out that they're dealing with something that causes stress in their life. A second job, a child that doesn't sleep through the night, an uncomfortable diagnosis that's not too good, a grandchild that's going through serious troubles. And we say, oh, if only I had known. Or we think we know someone well enough that we can tease them in good humor. And later we discover that the very thing that we tease them about is something that they're very sensitive about. We don't realize that we've blown it. We've spoken or acted inappropriately. If only I had known, I wouldn't have bothered you. If only I had known, I wouldn't have said that. If only I had known. Today we celebrate the Feast of Christ the King. And in our prayers and in our songs, in our scripture readings, we remember that Jesus is our King. It's good for us to stop and to think about this so that we don't end up using that old excuse. If only I had known. It's a good excuse, but as all excuses, it falls short. Shouldn't we be caring and respectful all the time? Shouldn't we watch our language, no matter who is or isn't around us? Shouldn't we think before we speak and act appropriately to others who are around us? Shouldn't we honor Christ, our King, all the time? And not just this one day of the year. The reading from Luke's gospel this morning puts us in the front of the cross where Jesus hangs dying. And just about everyone around him, the guards, the Pharisees, even the man hanging on the next cross, all taunt Jesus. If you are the Messiah, if you are the King, save yourself and us. It's pretty obvious that those people did not recognize Jesus for who he was. They didn't see anything special going on. How many of those people later said, if only I had known? What does it mean to you and to me that we know that Jesus is our King? Our Messiah. Doesn't it mean that we show our respect, that we honor him with obedience and service? Doesn't it mean that we recognize him right here in our midst? Let me tell you a story. There was a great prophet, a guru, who lived in a cave on a high mountain. Let's put him in India. And he was wise, a truth teller. One day he's visited by an abbot from a famous monastery. And the abbot makes his journey there to ask the question. You see, this abbey had fallen on hard times. Once this abbey was filled with monks. The abbey church was filled with the sounds of prayers and singing as many pilgrims came to be fed in a spiritual way in this community of faith. But now this abbey has fallen on hard times. The monks go around, the few that are left, with heavy hearts. Sadness fills their beings. And pilgrims don't come. The church is empty most of the time. And as his story ends, the abbot looked at the old wise man and he asks the question, is it some sin of ours that the monastery has come to such a state? And the guru looked at him and said, yes. It's a sin of ignorance, though. And the abbot said, well, what are we ignorant of? What is our sin? And the guru says to the abbot, one of your members is the Messiah in disguise, and you have failed to recognize him. And then he closed his eyes. And the abbot went away, making his long journey back home, and he starts to think about this. Who is it? Who could it be? Could it be the gardener? The cook? The treasurer? And every person that he goes through, the 15 men who live in that monastery, and as he goes through each one, he says, no, it couldn't be him. He has too many faults. No, it couldn't be him. He has too many faults. And then it came to him, oh, the guru said that he is in disguise. Maybe the faults are part of his disguise because every person in that monastery has faults. So maybe that's it. It could be any of them. So he gets home, calls all the monks together, and he repeats the story, tells what the guru said. And as he tells it, the monks are shocked. And they start looking at each other saying, could it be him? Could it be him? There isn't any way to tell. So they started to treat each person with special respect and honor and love. And not long did that monastery have a change in its attitude. Soon there were young people coming, knocking on the door, wanting to join that monastery. Soon pilgrims started making their way back to visit that abbey church and to join their prayers with those joyful, vibrant, loving monks. The Messiah indeed in their midst. Jesus, our King, our Messiah, is here with us, right in this church, in this community. There is nothing about his appearance that sets him apart, that we would recognize him as the King. But here he is. And as we stand at the foot of the cross, we don't say, if only I had known. We do know. We know Jesus is our King. And you and I, our brothers and sisters of that King, we owe him our praise and our obedience, our respect and our consideration. We owe him our time and our attention and our love. Thanks be to God for calling us to be a part of this kingdom where we can be servants to one another, to the Messiah who is in the person sitting next to you. Thanks be to God for giving us this Thanksgiving feast where we are fed with the body and blood of our King. and then sent to be nourishment to others in the world. And thanks be to God for the presence of our Messiah in our midst. Amen.